you're turning there, let me tell you, sometimes you think people are real spiritual, but they're not. And so I'm going to tell you a story real quick while you're turning to Galatians chapter 5. The temporary Sunday school teacher was struggling to open a combination lock on a supply cabinet. She had been told the combination, but couldn't quite remember it. Finally, she went to the pastor's study and asked for help. The pastor came in the room and began to turn the dial. After the first two numbers, he paused and stared blankly for a moment. Finally, he looked serenely heavenward and his lips moved silently. Then he looked back at the lock and quickly turned to the final number and opened the lock. The teacher was amazed. "I'm in awe at your faith, Pastor," she said. "It's nothing really," he answered. "The number is on a piece of tape on the ceiling." So, sometimes you think it's spiritual and sometimes it's not really. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13. We've been talking about this thing of walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh and being able to bring forth some fruit in your life. And I think everybody here would want that. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." So we're in liberty. We're not under the law. We're not under the do's and the don'ts system anymore. We're under liberty. But we don't now have this liberty to now just do whatever we want to do. The liberty is there, not so we can act and live according to our flesh and our lusts, but the liberty is there so that now I don't have to be told what to do. I have the liberty to just fulfill Christ and do the things for Christ because I have the Holy Spirit in me, give me the freedom and the liberty to do those things now. And so that's what he's saying there. Some people say, "Well, I'm not under the law. I've got liberty. I can just live however I want to live." But that's misusing the liberty. That's not what the liberty's for. The liberty's not there so you can just live however you want to live. That's not the case. And we're going to show you that tonight. Verse number 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now watch, here's the battle and the warfare we talked about before. "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." And these are what? What's the next word? They're contrary. They're against each other. These are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such alike." Such alike just means in anything else you can think of, kind of lumped in there with that. "Of the which I tell you before, if I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But on the contrary wise, here is the fruit of the Spirit." That was the manifestation of the flesh. All those things are going to come out of you if you're living fleshly. These things are going to come out in your life. But here's the thing, if you're living after the Spirit, these things should come out in your life. Here they are. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And here's our text verse for tonight. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." But verse number 24 is what I want to kind of focus on tonight and then kind of take that as our text verse. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." We've been talking about walking in the Spirit. And we've been telling you that if you walk in the Spirit, you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And we've been telling you if you walk in the Spirit, you'll also have fruit in your life. Now, if you're like me, this is what I desire in my life. I haven't attained yet. As Paul said, I have not attained, but I strive towards that. That's what I'm trying to do. And as we spend more time in the Word of God, we talked about some of the steps towards you having the spiritual walk. We talked about the first step was you reading the Word of God, getting the Word of God in you. And you've heard it quite a bit lately in some of the messages that have come up between myself and Pastor Robinson. You've heard us talk about meditating on the Word of God. So it's not only just reading it, but it's meditating on it. And then we talked about the fact of being a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only, but putting the Word of God into practice. That's the first step towards you walking in the Spirit of God is reading and meditating and applying the words of God. The second step that we told you was not only reading, but requesting and responding to God. And so that was praying, spending time in prayer, talking to God. And we gave you an outline of how to pray, because some people say, well, I just don't know how to pray. We gave you an outline of how to pray. And then I even gave you, and we'll go over it sometime in the future again, but I even gave you an outline of different verses that talk about prayer that you can use during your week to spend time in prayer during the week. And so praying, you say, well, those are such simple things. Yeah, but people just don't do them, though. We just don't read like we're supposed to. We just don't pray like we're supposed to. And then we wonder, how come I keep falling into sin? How come is it that I don't produce any spiritual fruit in my life? This is the reason why. We can't do the small things, and therefore we're not seeing the big results in our life. We've got to do these things, reading and praying. And then here's the third step tonight. Here's the third step. And the third step is restricting and replacing the flesh. Restricting and replacing the flesh. Now let me tell you what the flesh is. The flesh and the Way of Life Encyclopedia I've got back in my office. I looked, did some research on this. The flesh in the New Testament, as used by Paul, has to do with the fallen, sinful nature of man. The flesh and the spirit are repeatedly contrasted in their character, in their tendencies, and in their results, what comes from them. The flesh and its works, we just went over there in those verses, and the spirit and its fruit are eternally opposed. There, that's why I had you say the word out loud. They're contrary one to the other. They are never, they're completely, they're like black and white. They're completely different from each other. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And they're always there at war. And that's what we said in verse number 17 of the same place. It says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. There's a warfare and a battle that's going on. Let me tell you, I want you to help me preach this message tonight. I want you to tell me, along with your flesh, what are the two friends of the flesh that help your flesh to fulfill the lust of it? What's one of the friends of the flesh that you know of? We say there's three things we always talk about that you're fighting as a Christian. The world, the flesh, and who? The devil. Those three things are always at, they're always at battle with the Christian. As a Christian tries to live the Christian life, those three things are always fighting him. And we cannot get away from this flesh. We won't get away from this flesh until the Lord calls us home. That's when we'll leave this flesh. We're going to constantly be in battle in this flesh all the way up to the day that either the rapture takes place and we're out of this flesh, or the day that we die and lay down this flesh and the Bible says to be absent from this body as he present with the Lord. We're always going to have this battle that's going on. But as we're battling the flesh, I'm a new creature in Christ, I'm saved, but I'm still battling my old nature, this old flesh that I've got with me at all times. And while I'm battling this flesh, there's the two friends of the flesh that are always trying to help the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. And it's the world and it's the devil. And you're never going to escape those either. Those are going to always be there. You cannot get out of this world. There's just no way out of it. Until we're out of here and present with him, we're going to be in this present world. And so we're going to always fight it. And so you can't, listen, you can't get away from the things you're going to see in this world. It would be great if we could get away from some of the billboards we see, some of the commercials we see, some of the things we see. Man, you can go down to Walmart in Copper's Cove and see some of the craziest things you ever saw in your life. Just in the checkout line at Walmart. Not just the magazines, but the people that are in line with you. And so you're never going to get away from the things of this world. You just can't get away from it. And listen, until the Bible talks about the millennial reign, the devil's going to be is going to be bound up and put in the pit. Until that day, we're always going to be fighting a real, literal devil also. It's just going to be the way it is. And those two friends of your flesh are always teaming up on you to try to pull you away from this spiritual man of walking in the Spirit. And that's what's going on with us all the time. It's kind of like this. Let me explain it to you this way. I try to make these things as practical and as easy for you to get as I possibly can. And this is the best way, or one of the best ways I can think of to describe it. Pretend like, just like when Jesus talked about the disciples getting in the ship and going across the sea to the other side. They were in a ship with Jesus, in this boat with Jesus. But they were also in a sea or an ocean, were they not? Sometimes this ocean is a lot like our flesh. There are times that my flesh is pretty docile. There's times that I'm not really warring against my flesh. My flesh doesn't rise up. It feels pretty good. I'm not really fighting it. I don't really have any problems. And you would say the same. There's times in your life where the flesh really isn't fighting you that hard this week. And you think, well, I've got pretty good victory this week. But something comes up and the friends, the elements, start to do something. And next thing you know, the flesh just rises up. It could be somebody cutting you off in traffic. It could be something you see at the store. It could be something you see on a commercial. It could be something you see on a billboard. Whatever it may be, the flesh just all of a sudden rises up. It's just like that little boat on the water. The friends of that ocean are the winds and the storm. And sometimes the ocean, you've been out on the water before, it's been very calm. And sometimes, just like that, boom, the wind can start blowing and the waves pick up. And the waves, in that story, the waves come up over the boat and it's drowning out the boat. But what was on the boat that brought peace? Jesus was on the boat. And Jesus stepped out on the boat and says, "Peace, be still." He's the only thing that can conquer the elements is Jesus. And the only thing in us that can really fight the flesh and beat the flesh and beat these two foes that are trying to pull on your flesh and try to raise up your flesh like that storm in the raging sea is Jesus in you. That's the only thing, and that's the Holy Spirit in us. And so that's the fight that we've always got. And sometimes the flesh is really docile. And sometimes, man, it's just coming overboard and it's hitting you from all different sides and you're trying to figure out how do I do it. And that's when you really got to have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, listen folks, if you don't have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you what's going to happen. You are going to sink. You're just going to sink. You say, "You're going to lose my salvation?" No, I don't mean you lose your salvation, but you're just going to really sink in this life. And you're going to fulfill the lusts of your flesh. And you're not going to bring forth any fruit, spiritual fruit in your life. So I'm going to tell you some things that I hope tonight will help you in this thing of restricting your flesh, of restricting and replacing your flesh tonight. I hope this will be a help to you because this is the idea. We're feeding, you are feeding one or the other. You realize that. You're either feeding this fleshly man or you are feeding the spiritual man. You are doing one or the other. You say, "No, I'm not feeding the flesh." Yeah, if you're not feeding the spirit, let me tell you, friend, you are feeding the flesh. You're feeding him. And he's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so you need to realize you're feeding one or the other. And so I'm going to help you figure out how to stop feeding the flesh, starve out the flesh so that the spiritual man is stronger so you can walk in the spirit and have a good, healthy spiritual walk. The very first thing I want you to see, look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter number 6. The very first thing I want you to see is I want you to recognize tonight who you are as a Christian. I want you to know who you are as a Christian. And you need to recognize who you are as a child of God, as a blood-bought child of God tonight. You need to know who you are. Romans chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 6. What's that very first word? Knowing. Let's say it one more time. What is it? Knowing. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ. That's that old sinful man. He's crucified with Christ. You're crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not, what? Serve sin. We shouldn't be serving sin because who are you as a Christian? I am somebody that's been crucified with Christ. I've been buried with Christ. If you're saved today, you've been crucified with Christ. That's your position in Christ. Praise God. That's who you are. I'm in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's who you are in Christ. And you need to get your mind wrapped around who you are. You need to get your mind wrapped around that you are a child of the King. And that you have power over this sinful flesh that you've got. You've got that power. And so then verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Then look down at verse 11. If this is the case and you are a child of God and you are somebody that's been, your old man has been crucified and buried and now you're risen again to live with Christ, if that's the truth for you, then look at verse 11. Likewise, what's the next word? Reckon. That just means count it as being so. Just count it as being so. If you are a child of God, then just believe that you are and start living like you are. I mean, just I mean, just in your own spirit, just say, this is who I am. That's basically what he's saying there. If it's true about you, are you if you're saved this evening, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
If that's the case, then listen, your old man's dead positionally. As far as what God sees you, your old man is dead. You know what now you need to do? Now you need to reckon it, count it to be so, and believe it. Believe it. Just start believing it. And then if you'll start believing it, then it says down there in verse number 12, let not sin therefore, because that's who you are. Because you are saved, born again, child of God, with power over the sin in the flesh. Now, therefore, let it not reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust thereof. Look at verse number 13. Neither yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's who you are now. And if you are a child of God, if you are a blood-bought child of God, if you are on your way to heaven, if you died today and you're sure of that, then you need to know that's who you are. And then if you know that's who you are, then now what you're told is, now start to live like that. Now start to live like a child of the king. Wouldn't it be crazy to be a child of a literal king and you don't even know it? Wouldn't that be wild? But then after you know it, you'd start to really live like, hey, I'm a child of the king. That's the idea here. If you are saved and on your way to heaven when you die and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, then now you need to know that. Get that in your mind and then start living it that way. Start living that out in your life. You need to recognize who you are and then start yielding that way. Let me give you some other verses. In Galatians chapter 6, you have to turn to this one. I'll give you another one. You can be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But in Galatians chapter 6, this is what Paul says. This is his mindset, Paul's mindset when it comes to being a child of God. This is the way he thinks. And this is the way you should start thinking as a born-again, saved person. Paul says this, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, watch this now, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know what Paul is saying in this sentence? He's saying, because I'm saved, because I'm on my way to heaven, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, I'm no longer chasing the things of the world. And the world no longer has a real good hold and a pull on me. Can you say the same thing tonight? Hopefully you can. Hopefully you can make the same type of statement that Paul could make in saying, I am crucified when it comes to this world. I am crucified to it, and it's crucified to me. I will not be in subject to the world and the course of this world any longer. That's what you've got to get in your mind and decide in your heart. That's what we need to get a hold of tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. It's a familiar verse of Scripture that you know also. Look at verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not of your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God where? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let me ask you a question tonight, folks. The first question I asked you, are you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Have you been bought with a price? Say amen. Do you realize then you're not your own? You don't get to make your own decisions about do I do this fleshly thing or do I do this spiritual thing? You don't get to make that decision anymore. You don't belong to you anymore. You belong to Him now. And now the idea is, what would you have me to do? Not fulfilling. So somebody says, well, I've got liberty now. I can fulfill the lust of my flesh. No. You've got liberty now. You've been purchased. And now you belong to Him. And now you do have liberty. You have liberty to live for Him. That's what we have now. And that's what our mindset should be. Listen, have you been bought with a price? Yes. Are you not your own? Yes. Then live like that. Live like, let me give you an example, a real good example. If my uncle-in-law, I guess is the way you'd put it, got a brand new to him, and it was really nice, cherry red Corvette. And I went to go visit them a little while ago, and when I got there, he said, hey, Eric, you want to drive the Corvette? And I said, well, absolutely not. I don't want to get in that car. He said, well, why not? I said, what if I ding a door? What if I run it off the road? What if this doesn't belong to me and I don't want to mess it up. He said, oh, man, just drive it. And I said, no, I will get in the passenger seat and you can drive it. And he said, no, you drive and I'll sit in the passenger seat. I said, okay. And so we got out on the road and we drove down there. And we got down to the end of a main road. It was off in the country. we made a turnaround. He said, "Now stomp it." And in the turn, and I said, "No way." I said, "I end up running this thing off the road." So I got it leveled out straight on a straightaway. He said, "Now it's a stick." He said, "Now hit it." Man, I was going over 100 just like, it was like that. It felt like it was nothing. I was flying. And but you know what? I did not want to drive his car because it did not belong to me. And I was scared that I might mess that car up. That's the way you need to approach this vessel you live in. It don't belong to you anymore. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And you know what? You need to say, "I don't want to mess up your vessel. In fact, what do you want me to do with it? What are the plans you have for it?" And that's the way we need to approach our life. And if we could get that in our mind, listen, we would not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We would be walking in the Spirit if we would get that kind of thought in our mind. Let's look at another one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you would apply this, I'm telling you, this would help you a lot. This is the first one, is just knowing who you are. Who are you? Who are you? You need to know who you are. Verse number 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." There shouldn't be a union between you and an unbeliever. And this is, we tell people this when it comes to marriage. If you're a believer, don't try to marry somebody that's not a believer. You say, "Well, I'll make him a believer." It never works out that way. It just never works out that way. You say, "Well, I'm a believer, and I want to join in business with somebody that's a non-believer." Listen, you can do what you want to do, but I'm just telling you, sometimes that's a very big mistake. Because you have ways of approaching things like, "I'm going to do things in a Christ-honoring way," and they're thinking money. And so then you're unequally yoked together with somebody. So he says, "Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now watch this now. "What fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness?" Let me ask you a question tonight, church. Are you part of the righteous? If you've trusted Christ, you are. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. So what business do you have being righteous and being yoked together with unrighteousness? In whatever aspect of your life. I'm talking about how you are, "I'm a saved person. I'm born again. I'm a child of God." What business do I have of letting some unrighteous filthiness into my life? I don't have any business doing it. This is not my life. It belongs to Him. It's not my body. It belongs to Him. Why am I letting filthiness and unrighteousness connected to me? It shouldn't be this way. It should be a holy life separated from some of the sin. And so, what business has righteous and unrighteous? Listen, let me ask you a question, church. What communion hath light with darkness? Are you light? Yes, you're a child of light. So what business do you have with the darkness of this world? Absolutely none. No, you should not be around the darkness of this world. And by now, in your mind, things are already starting to pop up. You're already starting to think, "This is the thing that's messing me up in my flesh." I don't even have to say it. It's already starting to pop up in your mind. "This is the thing that's hindering my spiritual walk because it's feeding my flesh. This is the thing." And listen, what business do you have letting that into your life? You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. And so we go on. Verse number 15. What concord, putting together here, what concord hath Christ with Belial, with a false god, with God? Now listen, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Say amen, church. Are you in Christ? Amen. If you're in Christ, what, you don't have any business with the things that are of the wickedness of this world. You have no business with that. Then we go on. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? With a believer, with an unbeliever? Why are we putting ourselves together and mixing some things together? You say, are you talking about coming out of the world? No. I'm going to live a job. I'm going to witness to people. I'm going to do those types of things. That's not the idea here. It's talking about you as a spiritual person putting the worldly stuff into your life and habits in your life that really feed your flesh. That's what we're talking about here, feeding your flesh. And then verse number 16, what agreement had the temple of God with idols? Now watch this now. For ye are the temple of the living God. You know you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you? You are the temple of the living God. You say, well, I don't do those types of things at church. Listen, inside of you is where the Holy Spirit lives. You're not your own. What are we doing taking the temple where the Holy Spirit lives and taking it and joining it together with something we know is rotten and filthy? We have no business doing that. And I know you think, well, I don't really like that, but I'm telling you, this is the truth. This is the truth. Listen, it applies to you and it applies to me. I have no business doing that. This is where the Holy Spirit lives. Somebody says, well, I just don't do those things in church. Listen, we're not talking about being in this building. or being outside this building. We're talking about, where do you carry the Holy Spirit? And what are you joining this Holy Spirit up that lives inside of you with? We need to be thinking about this. This is something we need to realize who we are. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. Just something to think about tonight. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Let me ask you a question, church. If you then be risen with Christ, are you risen with Christ? If you're a child of God, you are. If you're a child of God, you've been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and risen with Christ. So, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, and that's you. He's talking about you. Then here's what you have to do. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affections, your love, your desires for the things that are above, and not on the things of the earth. For you are dead. Here we are again. You are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then she'll also appear with him in glory. Watch the very next word. What is it, church? Say it out loud. Mortify. Listen, that what it's telling me is, if I'm a child of God, the things that have to do with my flesh, they should be something that I'm targeting to kill. I don't want these things in my life. I should be trying to eradicate those things from my life. I should be trying to restrain those things and remove those things from my life and replace them with spiritual things. Can you already start to be thinking about in your mind the things that are hindering your Christian walk right now? Whatever that thing might be. Can you already start to think of what is it that's feeding your flesh that you know you need to put a target on and start eradicating tonight? What is it? That's what you need to be thinking about. Who are you in Christ? And then let me say this. Not only recognize who you are in Christ, but then we need to start restricting, removing, and replacing the feeding of the flesh. What's feeding our flesh, we need to start restricting it or removing it and then replacing it with the spiritual things. Let me give you some example of this. Like we talked about before, the two dogs. We've talked about this before. Which one are you feeding? Are you feeding the flesh or are you feeding the spiritual? That's the one that's going to be stronger. We've talked about that before. We've given you illustrations of that. Some things in your life are not necessarily bad, but you might need to start cutting back on them because they're feeding your flesh. Some things, let me say it again, some things are not necessarily bad, but there's something that's feeding your flesh and you're spending so much time with it that you're neglecting the spiritual man. Now, for instance, let me give you for instance. The TV in itself is not a bad. That thing right there is not evil. But what comes through it can be wicked. You understand that? And even if it's not bad, but you're spending all your time watching it and not feeding the spiritual man, then what you're doing essentially is feeding the fleshly man and neglecting the spiritual man. So it's not that it's a bad thing, but it becomes bad because we're spending all of our time allowing it to feed the fleshly, entertaining the man. You ever say somebody goes to a carnival? You know why they call it a carnival? Because it's something that entertains your carnal man. And so somebody says, well, is it wrong? Is it really wrong for me to watch TV? No, it's not wrong for you to put a TV in your house and have entertainment. It's not wrong. But if you spend all your time doing that and feeding the flesh and you're not feeding the spiritual man, then guess what, folks? It's wrong. If all you're doing is feeding the flesh, then yes, that's wrong. Because your flesh is going to be stronger than your spiritual man. So I'm not saying you got to remove it, but I am saying you might need to start restricting some things. We're talking about restricting the flesh, restricting the feeding of the flesh. You might need to start restricting some things. Now listen, the radio in itself is not bad, but you might need to start restricting some of the things you're listening to that feed the flesh. You might just need to do that. I'm not saying remove it, but some things you might need to start restricting. Let me tell you something else. Playing video games or playing on the internet. Those are some things you might need to start restricting and dialing down on because you're spending, listen now, because you're spending so much time with that and feeding the fleshly man, entertaining him, that you're not spending enough time in the spiritual man, feeding and spending time with the spiritual. I'm not saying these things are bad because this is what people do. They leave and they say, oh, well, so he said that the TV is wicked. No, I didn't say that. He said the internet is of the devil. I didn't say that either. He said Facebook was not of God. I didn't say any of those things. I'm saying if you're spending all your time feeding the flesh on these things, then you're really hurting yourself instead of spending time spiritually doing the spiritual things. Which one are you feeding? It might be good for you to start starving out a little bit of the fleshly stuff and spending more time with the spiritual stuff. It could be the TV, it could be the internet, it could be games, it could be a lot of things. Let me tell you something else you might have to do. If it gets to the point, follow me now, it could be something in your life that you need to just remove. You need to just remove it and cut it out. Let me give you a verse. In Romans 13:13, it says this. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envy. But watch this next verse. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh that ye should fulfill the lust thereof. Make not provision for the flesh. You know what that says? Listen, if you know, listen to me now and follow me real close. If you know there's something in your life that always trips you up when it comes to your spiritual walk, you need to cut it out of your life. I mean, just cut it out. I was at a meeting one time, and it was nothing but thousands. It was probably 2,000 or 3,000 people at a meeting. And they condensed it down to just all the pastors. And they let the pastors ask questions of some very seasoned pastors. And one of the pastors asked a question that was really a relevant question, but nobody ever asks it. And he asked the question, he said, what do you do with the thing of pornography? He said, what advice do we give people that have issues with pornography? What do we tell people? Because that's, folks, in case you hadn't realized it, that's a real threat to the flesh of people, is pornography. He says, what do we tell people? As Christian leaders, what do we tell other people about this? And the preacher made this statement, and it was a very good statement. He said they need to just cut the computer off if they can't handle it. If they can't just find a way to restrain the internet from themselves to the point that they don't get messed up, then what they'll have to do is just cut it off completely. That's all you can do. I'm talking about feeding your flesh, because this is what's going to happen. As you feed your flesh and you get more and more and more of the flesh stronger, you are going to fulfill the lust of your own flesh. That's what's going to happen. And so sometimes you need to restrain it, but sometimes you just got to remove it. And there are some things in your life that you may just need to remove because they're hindering you. Look, mothers, dads, there are some things that are tripping up our teenagers and our kids, and you know what they are. And listen, you need to figure out what those things are, and if you're responsible and you're good about this and do it the right way, you need to remove some things that you know are hindering children. You need to remove them. If they can be restrained and dialed back, restrain them. But if they can't be restrained, then you may have to remove it so that it does not cause a problem in the home or in their own life. So in our own flesh, there's some things we have to do. And why is this? Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Let me tell you, not a lot of people anymore preach on being holy and living a holy life. They just don't do it anymore. But it is part of the Bible. Peter said this, that Jesus made the statement, God made the statement, be holy, for I am holy. It's our command to be holy, to live a holy life. In fact, if I would have continued reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when you get to verse number 7 and verse 1, it says for us to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And it says, and perfecting holiness. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Because I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. And so I should be living this way. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. I was going to read a couple of things to you. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse number 20. My son, this is one of the wisest men in the Bible. This is the statement he makes. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Here we go. Let them not depart from thine eyes. I want you to mark that. I marked it on my paper. I didn't mark it in my Bible. Let them not depart from thine eyes. In verse number 20, it said, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine what? Heart. Let me say something to you, and I want you to understand this tonight. This is the truth. What you see and what you hear is going to affect your heart. You understand that? What you see and what you hear is going to affect your heart. Because he says, look at verse number 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. All the issues of your life, listen now, are coming from the heart. And what affects your heart? What you see and what you hear affects your heart, which affects your life. Folks, you want a fruitful life? You need to be putting the right things in. You need to be listening to the right things, looking at the right things, listening to the right things, because it'll affect your heart, and fruit comes from that. But folks, listen to me. I'm just being real honest with you tonight. If all you're doing is listening to and looking at the things that feed the flesh, that's what will affect your heart and will become part of the issues of your life. That will be the issues of your life. And so, we're going to have to find a way to restrict, remove some things. There were several verses that I wanted to talk to you about. I might just tell them about to you real quick. Remember in Mark chapter 4, the four different types of soil and the seed and the sower he puts out in the soil? What was one of the types of soil that he put it on? It says the thorns would drown out the word. Remember that? Well, do you understand that the thorns was what it says? The thorns were the cares and the lusts of this world. That's what it was. They drowned it out. So what I'm saying to you is this. The more you feed the flesh, it ends up drowning out some of the spiritual things in your life. He went on to say if it was good ground, it becomes fruitful, right? You want fruit in your life? It has to be good ground. If you have the cares of this world, all the lusts and all the cares feeding the flesh, it drowns out the spiritual. Listen, in my yard, at my house, don't drive by my house and look at my house right now. I haven't mowed the yard yet. You know, it's full of crabgrass. Brother Ron, Sister Shannon said, I drove by your house the other day and I saw your truck and I thought, Lord God, help us. I got crabgrass growing all in the yard. There's weeds everywhere. Before Chris and Jessica came over the other day, that we had them over to eat at the house the other day, and before they came over, I ran out in the front yard right before they got there. They don't know this. I'm just telling myself now, with a weed eater, and cut down all the crabgrass that was in the yard. I felt bad. They're going to come over to the preacher's house, and it looks so bad. You know what I've got? I've got nice Bermuda grass that looks good and it's well manicured. But you know what's taking over my yard? Crabgrass and weeds. You know what? I didn't plant crabgrass and weeds. But it's there. And you know what? The first week that I saw it, there was just a few weeds. The second week, there was more weeds. And now the whole thing is weeds everywhere. It just finds a way, the negative finds a way to get in and choke out all the good. And I'm telling you, folks, I want you to just think about this, meditate on it this week, that the more we feed the flesh, it's drowning out the good. It's just choking out the spiritual. In Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2, he says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies. Present it what? A living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. It's reasonable for you to do that. And watch this now. It says, and be not conformed to what? This world. Here we are again. It's the same thing. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. That's what we're talking about. That's what we've been talking about. Renewing your mind that you may do what? Prove. Prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Let me ask you a question, folks. If you were to read the rest of that chapter, go home and read it sometime, you know what the rest of the chapter talks about? You being fruitful and being used within the body of Christ. The rest of that chapter is talking about the gifts from the Spirit. And folks, listen, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to have fruit in your life and in your church, listen, the way to do that is not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about not feeding the flesh so much, but instead finding time to feed the spiritual man. That's what needs to happen in the Christian life. I want you to look at the last verse that I want to show you, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We tell people this all the time. We tell young people at camps. This is exactly what we do at camp. When we take your kids to camp, this is what we give them. We give them a sheet of paper that says, don't bring your video games, don't bring your cell phones, don't bring your magazines, don't bring your CD players. Why do you think we tell them that? We tell them that because we're trying to starve out the flesh for the week. And then what are we trying to do? Pump in as much of the spiritual as we can. Now, the teenagers aren't in here, but I'm going to tell you something. When they came back from camp, one of the parents called Elijah and Chance and said, "I don't know what you did to my kid, but he is completely different." Is that not right? He's completely different. And the reason why is because all the flesh was starved that week. And all the spiritual was built up that week. And that kid came home transformed just in a week. Can you imagine? This is what we're talking about. This is how this thing works. Look at Luke chapter 15. I'm going to show you the last thing that I want you to see. Listen, if you just remove everything out of your life and say, "I'm going to go home and remove everything out of my life," and you don't replace it, you know what you're going to end up being? Self-righteous. Just an empty, self-righteous vessel. You're going to have to replace it with the right stuff. Replace it with the spiritual. If you're going to get rid of something, replace it with the right. Say, "Well, I'm going to change some of my music that I'm listening to that's feeding my flesh." If you do that, let me tell you what you need to do. Replace it with some preaching, some good Christian music, those types of things. If you get rid of something that you feel like is hindering, always replace it with something that's spiritual. You're just an empty vessel otherwise. And so this last thing, I'm using it a little bit different way than what's intended here, so just bear with me for a second. Look at verse number 8. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.'" Now, verse number 10 tells you the context of it. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And so Jesus is talking about Him coming and looking and seeking to save that which is lost. That's really what the context of this is. But I want you to understand something about the character of Christ. Understand it now. Here's the character of Christ, which you can understand from that. He said, "I will come, and I'm not settling for just saving 9 out of the 10. I'm not settling for 90%, because a lot of us would just settle for, "Well, I'm pretty good. I'm about 90%. He's not settling for 90%. His character is, "I'm shooting for 100%. I'm going to find all of them." And if you look at what this verse said, what he said he would do to find them, he said some things have to be swept out so that I can find them. And then I have to shed some light in it. He said, this is what he said. He said, "I swept it out and put some light in so they could find the one coin that was missing." That's exactly what I'm talking about you today. If you want to find the 100% Christian that you need to be, and I would think that you'd want to be the 100% Christian that God intended for your life, then you need this kind of character. And this kind of character is this: I'm going to sweep out the bad, and I'm going to replace it by putting some of the light in, so that I can find that part in me that's been missing, this 100% Christian walk that I'm supposed to have. Now, he's talking about seeking and saving lost people, but you can understand the character of Christ from this. You can understand the character of God is that I'm going to go the extra mile and find the whole 100%. And listen, that's what we need to do as Christians. Really, I don't know everybody in here the way you feel about things. But me, I want to strive for the best. And when I was in the military, I wasn't always the best, but I tried to be the best that I could possibly be. And as a Christian, I really want to be the best Christian that I can possibly be. You say, "But don't you fall short?" Yeah, absolutely. Fall short sometimes. But you know what? I'm still striving for it. It's exactly what Paul said. Paul said, "I forget those things that are behind, and I press those things that are before." And that's what we need to be doing. We need to try to be 100% Christians. I mean, just trying to strive. You know, listen, I want to clean out all the bad. I want to get the junk out. And sometimes you need to go home tonight and meditate. What is the junk that's hindering me? That's hindering me finding that extra 10%. And then sweep that out and then replace it. Always replace it with the light. Reading, praying, spending time with God and feeding the spiritual man. And I'm telling you, if you'll do this, you're going to see some real results in your life. Just start applying it. Stop feeding the fleshly and start feeding the spiritual. I'm telling you, you'll see a revolution change in your life. You will find the 100% that you're looking for in your Christian life. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to close tonight.